You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Powell.
Hello. I'm Joseph Grassa.
So welcome to our first show here on LA Talk Radio. We're really excited. We have so much stuff to bring to you and so many things to talk about and different backgrounds and different information. So we're here to say hi first, and then we'll go over a couple of things on what we do and what we're going to be doing in the next few episodes or so. Does it do anything?
100%. Teaching everybody investing and all multitudes of the markets, and honestly, knowledge that we feel everybody should know. And we're qualified in all these areas, so it's going to be super intriguing. And I hope you guys really take it to heart and enjoy.
Yeah. So let me give you a little bit of background about me. My name is Elizabeth Powell. I have a master's in finance. I'm a real estate licensed broker in California, and also was NMLS. I've owned quite a few startups, five corporations. I do a lot of businesses all the way from brick and mortar to web-based. I'm in Web 2 and Web 3 right now. I built a lot of AI technology and AI trading bots, AI tech, utilizing artificial intelligence and combination of other technology. And so we're going to help other people learn how to do things like start a business, buy real estate, travel the world. I did over 28 countries in 2.5 years. Created apps so that you could travel at the lowest cost, ways to find tax write-offs, how to become a quote-unquote travel agent so you can get discounts on your travel, but plus also make commission and create a new business while you travel. We also have done Web3. We're involved in cryptocurrency, blockchain, smart contracts, in small tokens, and in NFTs also. And then creating a business from the very beginning of learning how to start up a business, like on a sole proprietor, to a partnership, forming a corporation with a Schedule C, doing an S-Corp, 1120s on the taxes, and then also LLCs. So we're going to teach you all how to invest, all the way from like buying real estate, stocks, bonds, futures, and options, traveling the world, doing AI, drop shipping, new tech, and then a lot of other different fun things. So that's a little brief introduction.
a very seasoned veteran. So like, honestly, you provide so much value to everybody around you, and this is a great opportunity to share it. So we can kick it off, and we can dive into some more of the points that we wanted to cover today.
Sure. So we're here to help, here to teach. Hope everybody can learn something, and maybe not everything, maybe what you want to focus on, but we'll have different topics every week talking about different things, from like how to fix your credit or how to buy a car, prepare for college, or have other people you know need to prepare for college, how to get financial aid, how to buy real estate for primary or investment property, how to buy commercial real estate, how to start a business, buy and sell a business, how to get financing, work with venture capital, angel investors, and a lot of different other things too. Let's see. So let's talk a little bit about,
the long list we have prepared. Where do we delve in first? Honestly, I think anywhere to start is honestly a great place. Myself, I'm backed in crypto. I've done everything from real estate to e-commerce. And personally, right now, I'm doing day trading as my primary occupation. And honestly, it's Web3 is my home. I love it. But I'm seasoned in Web2 as well. I've dabbled in real estate. I have a degree in marketing, Bachelor of Arts marketing, and I think ACE really covers all of the ground points that we're going to talk about. Actually goes through her list to find out what we want to talk about first. I'm super excited to find out what she wants to talk about first today. There's a lot of key topics that I believe she wants to delve into. I think one of the major ones that's ever more emerging in the market is AI, which she's very seasoned in, and it's becoming very, very much so apparent that AI businesses and AI structures of businesses are starting to take over the market, and they're really leaning into the workforce at this point in terms of what AI can do to replace the current workforce. Super scary topic to talk about, but I think we might dive deeper into that one in a later episode, depending on what Elizabeth wants to talk about first.
Yeah, we're here to help people invest and then find new niches to try out. I know a lot of people are going into the unknown. We're trying to find new technology that's emerging and expose everyone to new technology so you can test it out, try it out, or use it as a investment tool. We teach people how to trade and how to invest and how to de-risk and be safe. Buying, like if you're buying real estate or if you're buying a car or if you're buying stocks, options, bonds, if you're buying cryptocurrency, how to make sure that you're safe and you're de-risking your portfolio and you're using safe plus also high risk to get a high return. So whenever you enter into something that's high risk, you always make sure that you paper trade everything first, because we'll teach that too. And then de-risk on your portfolio, making sure that you, when you're catching your returns, that you're pulling out your initial investment and then letting your profits run. Let's see. So talk a little about what we're into right now. We're doing a lot of crypto right now. Crypto, we have ETFs been announced. And so the crypto world is coming over into the mainstream where mutual funds and are able to put some of it into their portfolio. Before, in stocks, bonds, and options and futures, if you're diversifying your portfolio, your blue chips are your stables, like they're the most stable. So like Disney, Coca-Cola, those. So they have a lot of lower risk, but the returns are a lot lower too. And so when your portfolio is heavily weighted in blue chips, you'll have a steady return, but you won't have a lot of fluctuation in the market. And then you go into mid caps and small caps, which have a higher return, but a higher risk. So you have a bigger fluctuation in the market, but your return on investment over the annual period ends up being higher. So you diversify your portfolio and you mix the blue chips along with also the mid cap and small cap, you'll get a better return. And then your higher risk is like international stocks and the small caps. And so the percentage of return, 1 year you may get a 15% return, but the next year you may get a negative 6% return. So by diversifying your portfolio and then putting blue chips all the way to international stocks will give you a mixed return. And so now they're being able to add crypto into there. And crypto is considered high risk, but the returns are a lot higher too. So instead of getting just like a 5% or 10% or 15%, and some of the cryptos that we're involved in right now are returning about 200% to about 13,000% plus. And the returns are within 15 minutes to 24 mm-hmm. hours, but you need to learn how to do it properly or you can lose and risk it all. So we always say whenever there's a high risk, you always make sure you enter with a small amount just to test it out and always to paper trade. When you're learning something new, it's going to be like going to a baseball game and you're trying to become a home run hitter. And if you're going to become that home run hitter, you usually start out in the little leagues before you become into the major leagues. So on your very first day, you're not going to hit that home run. You have to practice everything that you do. So you'd have to go to the batting cages every day and practice every day. And you practice hitting and you practice catching and you practice throwing and then you work your way up. Same thing on anything that you try that's new. You're never going to master it on the first day. You're never going to become the best on the first day. You always have to practice it. So whenever you're coming into anything new, like if you're investing in real estate, you're investing in stocks and bonds, you're investing in futures and options, you're investing in crypto, or you're looking at any other kind of asset to trade or to invest in, you're always going to want to practice it first. So practicing it first, we call it paper trading. And paper trading is like taking the actual asset and saying, I'm going to enter this asset. I'm going to say, I'm going to enter Tesla at 200. I haven't looked up what Tesla is at right today. But so say hypothetically, Tesla is at 200. You can say, okay, today at this timestamp, I'm going to enter Tesla and I'm going to buy 1,000 shares, quote unquote, on my paper. I'm writing it down. I'm buying 1,000 shares of Tesla at 200. Now what you're going to do is you're going to track it. And so tomorrow you're going to see what Tesla is at and what would your 1,000 shares be at tomorrow. And then you're going to do it again on the third day and then see what your 1,000 shares would be at. And so that's called paper trading. You're not actually executing the trade. You're just trying it out to see if your instincts and if your trading is good and if you can actually make money by what you're doing. And so you'd practice that. So it's called paper trading. And then you go to the second step when you're doing an investment. You're going to enter with just a small little investment because you don't want to stack all your money or like send all your money in one day. You want to try out little different things and find out what you're strong at and find out your strengths. And so you would try out, so say now I'm going to try investing Tesla, but I'm only going to buy one share today. So I have one share that I'm investing and it's $200. And now I'm going to track it because you're actually executing it. So you went to the brokerage or you bought it online and you bought that one share. And now you see what tomorrow's value is at. So you start out with something small and then you keep tracking it and you practice it. And then when you get good at it, you find out what assets and investments you're really good at and you pursue those. And everybody has a different risk tolerance and everybody else has a different system that they use. Some people only want stables and they only want blue chips. And some people only want crypto because it's high risk, but a high return. And then other people want to invest in businesses. You can buy and sell a business or start a business. So there's all different types of assets, but you always want to make sure that you practice just like anything you do in life. When you get your education and you go to college, you don't get your degree on the first day. You have to attend college and keep going and then you get your degree. Same thing whether you do any type of thing that you're going to master, a sport, cooking, investing, anything that you do in life. You can't become the master on the very first day. You have to practice it over and over and over again until you become a master. You learn as much as you can. You find mentors. You go out and you watch YouTube. You go and look at seminars. You do things so that you can learn to become the best at what you do. And then you find what your specialty is. You find what you love to do. And then you pursue that because everybody will choose a different path. And you're not always going to be the same path as everybody else.
100%. And the strategy in which you choose to pursue is also very important and is a commonality with all of the different types of investing or whatever you want to go into, whatever you choose to go into through your endeavors. And we'll kind of delve into the strategies in which we pursue and use. And maybe if you, I'd recommend that everybody uses their own strategy. Take your bits and pieces from what other people have, from what the podcast you listen to, from the YouTube videos, and invent your own. Never follow everybody else because then you'll be common like everybody else. If you want to be the best, you have to do something that everybody else isn't doing. And to do that, you need to take bits and pieces and innovate on it and expand on it and use the knowledge that you've gained and then implement it into a further developed strategy that you can then implement.
Yeah, so we're gonna teach y'all how to like trade, how to invest, how to start businesses, how to drop ship, any different types of topics that are involved with investing or trading or learning or creating assets. Because you want to have assets, right? At the end of the day, if you're working just normal, you're not going to increase your wealth unless you're increasing your assets and your value. So you may dabble into real estate. Real estate may be your forte, or you may dabble into gold, or you may go into stocks and bonds, or you may go into mutual funds or life insurance or crypto. But you have to decide what your strength is and then be exposed to new things. Like if you haven't tried it out, watch it for a while and then see if that's something that you're interested in. And then always paper trade first. Never invest heavily in anything first. Always try it out first on paper where there's nothing, there's no risk, there's nothing involved, but you're just trying it out to see if that's something that you're good at and you like to do. And if it's something you want to pursue, then learn more about it. And then on the second step, always make sure you always enter low amounts to just to execute it, because we have to go through the motions. So like the analogy again of batting cages, you have to actually go mentally, you pretend that you're hitting the home run, but when you're actually executing it and like swinging that bat, that's executing it. So you have to go through the motions too, because going through the motions and actually doing something is a lot different than being on paper, because there's that time factor involved. There's that time of calling in the trade and then like posting it with your broker and then executing the trade and then exiting also. So we'll also teach you all how to like read charts in the future too. So if you want to learn how to read charts on stocks and bonds, read charts on crypto, that will be involved also. So we're just giving you kind of like an overall information about everything right now. Yeah. I know it's general, but I want to give like a brief introduction of all the different assets and different ways to invest and to have like a fun life too.
In summary, teaching you how to do absolutely everything, from the fun stuff, like if you want to learn how to build a computer, if you want to learn how to do AI art, if you want to learn how to trade, if you want to learn how to and where to invest your money, like all these different levels of like learning and different aspects of the market and what you can capitalize on, we're going to cover everything, and whatever sticks most with you, we'll 100% follow up with that. If you have any questions, or if you want to dive in and have a conversation with us about it, this line is open. You guys can jump in, you can ask your questions. And really, just when one person asks questions, it's because other people are scared to. And I'm not saying anyone's scared to, but some people aren't able to. And if you come up and ask your questions, it's going to answer somebody else's question almost 110%. Asking questions is everything when you're trying to learn something. If you're unable and unwilling to ask questions, you're limiting your ability to learn in further detail what you're trying to capitalize on. And that's something that's included in the paper trading aspect. And I kind of bundle it together. It, and in an analogy, like the baseball, the batting cages, your coach is never going to throw you a fastball or a curveball in practice. You're going to have to practice the motion of hitting the ball. And then when you get into the game, sometimes it takes you a few times. So paper trading allows you to, and what's amazing about it is it allows you to see the real-time scenarios. So you're able to adjust your strategy and to adjust the way you go about it mentally, because the mental game is another huge factor when you're going to any of these aspects of the market. You have to be able to adjust your mentality to really capitalize and to really push yourself to further levels, in which I believe everyone's capable of. They just need the push and the information to do it.
Yeah, so we're going to cover a lot of different topics, a lot of different information. Let's see. So we have investments, we have 401ks, we have SEPs, we have IRAs, Roths. You can also trade in crypto, different investment vehicles. We have real estate, buy businesses, a lot of different things. Like you can start a business. So the end goal is always like, this is the way that I always started businesses. I would find out the things that I was the most passionate about, like what I love to do, what my favorite things are to do. So I love to travel. That's one thing for sure. And so I would find out, like, based on all the things that I love to do, what can I tax write off on those things? What kind of business can I start that's part of those things that I love to do that can become a tax write-off? So like if you're traveling and you're staying at a location, so none of this is financial advice. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a lawyer, but I do have a master's in finance and I own corporations. So this is a lot for like educational purposes and for entertainment purposes. But like on the tax write-off on a Schedule C, you have to confer with your CPA to verify that these are tax write-offs and they're legitimate for you, or an 1120. Like most of the things are like car expenses. So you can write off your car, your mileage, depreciation, or the expenses of it. So you either have to take a mileage deduction or you have to take an expense deduction. You can write off rent and lease if you have a brick and mortar location. You can write off insurance. These are just all items that are like on a Schedule C or an 1120, but confer with your CPA to verify with all these things. So when you're starting a business, you also have your startup expenses, right? So on the first, I believe it's the first 5 years, you can write off on losses. So when you're doing a startup, anything that you do to incur to start up the business, like you build a website, you do marketing, you do promotion, advertising, any cost of goods become a write-off too. So when you're starting a business, you want to make sure that you learn as much as you can about the business and what your market demographics are, write up a business plan, do financial projections, make sure that your cost is being covered by cash flow coming in and that your overhead is covered also. So there's a lot of like intricacies to start a business. And just basically from starting out is like just doing a DBA, like it's doing business as. You have your own personal name and then you also have your business name. And so that's your DBA. And then, or if you don't want to start a business and you want to just buy a business, there's a lot of businesses out there that are for sale. And then you can come in and negotiate with the business owner on equity share or down payment on it or cash flow and negotiate buying a business too. So there's a lot of different options to do that. And then you also want to find out like what sector you're interested in. So you may be interested in entertainment sector, or you may be interested in restaurants, or you may be interested in manufacturing. So you have to find out what sector is your strong point and what you have the most interest in and what you have the most knowledge and background into. There's a lot of fun things that you can do. So that's like one investment vehicle that most people can replace their 9-to-5 and become self-employed based off of that.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of passive ways for people to replace their 9-to-5 as well, which we will be talking about as well. I think passive income is becoming ever and ever more apparent, and what people are striving to get is to get all that passive income as they can so that they don't need to work again. And one way that I've come across is real estate. Real estate is one of the best passive income vehicles that you can find. And if you're really looking at what to invest in real estate, whether you want Section A, Section B real estate, you can really help yourself by picking the right one, picking the vehicle that you want. If you want to get a condo, let's say you want to get a condo in the city, we'll discuss the benefits and the downsides to that and what you can really look at in terms of what you're getting yourself into, because most people, they want to find out everything they can about, if they're interested in it, they want to find out everything they can about a certain topic before they dive into it. And that's the best way to do it. Sorry for cutting you off, Liz.
No, not at all. Yeah, so there's all different types of real estate. You know, you can own personal real estate. You can own investment real estate. You have commercial real estate. A single family residence is like a personal home where you can own or occupy it. Or you can have like a duplex where you own or occupy one of the sides and then you rent out the other. Or you can have a fourplex where you own or occupy one of them and then rent out the other three. So there's different cash flows for that. And then there's also just a regular investment property. So you can have an investment property where you have a single family residence and you rent it out. You're not owner occupying it, but you're having tenants in it. And so that's an investment. Or you can own a duplex, a fourplex, where it's all tenant occupied. Or you can own a multiplex where it's like 5 to 20 to 100 different tenants in it. Property managers highly recommended. I've had stories where I've owned property. So funny, personal story. So I've owned a lot of properties and flipped a lot of properties too. I'll go in and do new construction and then do all the upgrades and flip a property. Or I bought property and had tenants in it. And then also, of course, had my, you know, own private residence too. But I owned the property and the tenant was just amazing. This is a good story about why you need a property manager. I've owned properties in California and out of state of California too, like in Nevada, Arizona, Florida, et cetera. But I had a tenant who was just amazing. Like they always paid on time. They were very polite. They were in the property forever. And this property was actually in Nevada. And Nevada has a lot of inclement weather where it's like really hot. It can be like 105 degrees and then it can be really cool down to 40 degrees depending on the time of the year. And Nevada is a pretty dry state, right? So we had full grass and it was a beautiful property, a single family residence. I had an awesome tenant in the location and he was very polite. All his credit was great. He was always on time on his rent. I had no issues whatsoever. And then he gave his notice and decided to move out. And I found out that he had killed all my grass.
Oh, not the grass.
He had not been watering the house. Like he had not, because water was expensive because it was like 105 degrees, right? So he had not watered my grass. And so the grass was dead. But it was awesome because like Nevada was offering this wonderful thing where you could replace the grass with rock, like because Nevada is trying to, you know, for drought and stuff like California is where they'll put rock down instead of grass. But it was funny that they wanted me to have live grass before they would give me a credit to drop rock. Like I had to put rock and pebble in where the yards were and then have patches of grass. But the only areas that they would cover and like give me a credit, like they have programs out there with the government and the cities where they're trying to encourage people because of drought, not to have as much live vegetation so that it doesn't cost as much in water and you're not wasting water. All my grass had to be live. So I had to go through and like plant seeds on all the areas that I wanted to drop rock. And then we had to make the grass live. And then when they verified that we had that live grass and they measured out how many square footage of grass was live. And then they allocated like a subsidy to drop rock, which is kind of funny. But this is one of the reasons why you want to have a property manager. So, and the property managers are worth it. They're like 10 to 20% of your rent, but they handle everything. They make sure that if anything happens to the property, they're there. If you get a call in the middle of the night, the property manager handles it. So if you have investment property, especially if you're out of state, you can't see what's going on in your property, but they'll do drive-bys and make sure that everything's okay. And they'll also like handle the tenant applications and make sure the credit's good and make sure the tenants are paying on time. And the other thing to do is when you buy a property is make sure that you get a home warranty. So if anything goes wrong on the house, instead of paying for like a $1,500 water heater, you just pay the deductible. And then make sure you add it, like if you have a pool, because if the pool heater goes out or the pool pump goes out, that's really expensive to get somebody out there. So if you have like a $50 or $100 deductible, that's all you have to pay for. Or if one of the appliances go out, you only pay the deductible and you can continue it. Like most people, when they purchase a home, they get the home warranty on their very first year. You know, it's usually included in the sale and that's what the seller will give the buyer. But people don't know this. You can do a home warranty at any time as long as it doesn't have like a precondition on it. So you can do a home warranty anytime or you can continue that home warranty from like year one and just keep rolling it over every year. But it saves you so much expense. So having a property manager and then having a home warranty is like critical of saving overhead and expenses. And then the property manager will also screen out everybody and make sure that they have everything in place, that they have good credit, that they're paying on time. They'll do drive-bys, make sure your grass isn't dead. Make sure they're not having wild parties or something's going on. Like you drive by and all of a sudden your house is a wild party. You don't want that. So highly recommend. So that was my funny story about real estate. One of my funny stories. I have lots of them.
We could dive into hours just about funny stories about real estate, to be honest. Oh my God. But I think real estate's a beast on its own, just deciding what you want to do and how to manage it properly, when to buy, how to buy, and discovering the market trends with real estate on its own. Because, oh my God, real estate's a beast.
Yeah, but it's also fun. Like looking for a property is fun too. And you always want to think of this, like this is the biggest key thing about finding an investment property. When we buy our own personal property, we always want certain features, right? Everybody wants the big house, the pool, the big yard. But when you buy investment property, you have to cater to the masses. You have to find something that's affordable to the masses, that has the highest probability that everybody else is going to want to rent it. And then it's like in a key location, and then the square footage is comparable to what the rents are. Because if you buy a mansion and the mansion is costing you like 25, hypothetically 25,000 a month, right? You're limiting your pool of renters. But if you get a single family residence that is in a popular area and it's more affordable to the masses, and it has like the features that most people want, like the number of bedrooms and the bathrooms, but it's not like what you would personally move into, it's you're going to cater to the masses. So you always have to consider that too when you're buying investment property. Because I did do one property that in Florida that I wanted to move in, but then I also realized, you know, that it doesn't appeal to the masses. So your pool of renters goes down and becomes slim, and you may end up having to discount your rent to catch the bigger market. But if you cater yourself and you cater your investments to the mass market on the highest probability that those renters are going to come in, then you're going to be able to rent your property and keep it rented and keep a good pool of qualified people in it, because now you have a bigger audience to capture that's going to want to rent your property. Like, that's important too.
I guess that also ties into location as well, and where you get your real estate, or where you buy your house or your condo or whatever you're, wherever you're buying your real estate at. Location is huge. It's a huge factor into what actually plays out there, because let's say you're getting a mansion, but you're getting it in a less wealthy area, there's going to be less people that are looking to get that property. So really just understanding the market demographics and where you're buying your properties and how many people, what kind of reach, what demographic, like Liz was saying, there's a lot of factors that apply to like every aspect of the market. So it's really just about that market research that you do beforehand, before jumping in and buying your property. There's a lot of like preemptive research. And I think we're going to go over some key topics in some later shows as to what you should be looking for in all these different markets, and what can really affect your purchase and what you want to do with it. Because at the end of the day, if you're buying it for an investment, and let's say you're a student coming out of school, you have in your first time buying your house, you're going to have an HOA loan, and you're going to want to figure out, what do I want to do with that? And there's a lot of options and routes you can really take with real estate, especially if you're younger and it's your first time buying a house.
Yeah. So also it applies to businesses too, like location, location, location. Everything that we do caters towards location, right? So investments, real estate, where people live, the commute, the traffic. So there's also businesses that, you know, like most people know that business that's in your city that always has new owners come in, and it just never runs. Like, it never takes off. That business just keeps failing over and over again. So location is important too for businesses. If you're going to have a brick and mortar and you're leasing a location, you want to make sure that it's like in a popular area and everybody knows about it, or you have a lot of frontage and people drive by it and they see you. If it's some different types of businesses, it depends on like what kind of a business is that you need to have high traffic. If it's catered to where they have to drive out to you and it's like a service and you can do things online, then you don't necessarily need a popular area where everybody sees you. But if it's something that everybody uses, you want to be in like a key location. So businesses apply to it, real estate applies to it, investments, location's always important. And that's why they always say location, location, location. But location, it's also
everything.
It also makes the cost go up, of course, but like if you're going to get volume, or you're going to get key renters, or you're going to get a higher amount on rent, then location is really important. Like if you're going to be beachfront, waterfront versus if you're inland, like you're getting a different price. Like you can still have a small square footage on beachfront and get a lot more in rents versus having the same square footage inland, will get a different rent. Same thing with businesses. Like if you're in a key location, you're going to have a lot of volume, you're going to have a lot of traffic, a lot of people are going to come into your business, versus if you're like in an outlying area where people have to drive or commute to you, then you're going to have less likelihood that they're going to come visit you.
100%, 100%. And like it applies to most markets. I say most, because some markets are online based, like e-commerce and such. But let's say you're going into something like, and you want to dive into collectibles, and you want to get into like arts and wines and crap, and like you want to do some whiskey, because there's a lot of whiskey collectors out there. It really all depends, and it's an online market, yes, but sometimes it's not. And it really depends. It's all about demographics. It's all about market research. It's all about what you do with your time prior to jumping into an investment that makes it really worthwhile and really tells you more about the market, more about the demographics, more about the market strategies you can go about into implementing your product or your investment into making it to the most profitable and most lucrative business you possibly can or investment you can. It's all in personally, from a story of mine, if I'm let's say I'm going into e-commerce and I know nothing about e-commerce to start, there's no shame in starting one as a test. There's no shame in it. It's like paper trading. You go in there, you test it, you see what works and what doesn't. Yes, there's some cost to get into it, but at the end of the day, your initial cost, think of it as a learning cost. And it applies to most markets. There's always going to be a cost to learn. Nothing is ever free. If you go in and you fail, you take those lessons that you learned, you take the valuable information that you've gained from your first run at it, and you apply it to the second one. And if that doesn't work, you've just gained so much more information on top of what you initially learned to get back in and crush it the third time. It's the more you fail, the higher chance of succeeding you'll have again. But I'm not saying constantly fail. Failing isn't good, but it teaches you so much. You need to fail in order to succeed.
Yeah, so if you always think of it as a learning experience, not as a failure, you'll be more successful. So everything that we do in life is to learn, right? Everything we do is, we don't have mistakes, we don't have failures, we have learning experiences. And so what you take from that learning experience may enhance your next business. It may make you better at what you do in something else. You always learn something from it. If you can always take away something that you've done and then you realize that, you know, that wasn't for me, that didn't work for me, that's okay. There's something else better out there that is for you. And so then when you move on to the next project or you move on to the next business or next real estate investment, you learn. Like, you learn that you need a property manager not to kill your grass. You learn when you start a business that, you know, like, it has to be in a great location. And like, okay, that location wasn't the best and people couldn't find me. So next time I know better. Next time on my next business, I'm going to know. Or you learn that, you know, like, I went into the market at the top of the market and I paid way too much. Hypothetically, some people have done that. They've gone into a top of the market and paid too much. But as long as they can afford their monthly payment, they can ride out the market and ride out the waves. Everything cycles out too. So what may feel like a mistake or may feel like it's not working out in your favor, we cycle through everything. We always cycle through real estate tops and lows. We cycle through stocks and bonds tops and lows. We cycle through businesses tops and lows. Everything happens in cycles. And so what may feel like an ultimate failure is not necessarily a failure or a mistake. It's always a learning experience, and you take it with you to the next, and then you learn and you grow from it, and then you become better at what you do, and then you narrow down your niche to what is your specialty, what your passion is, and what you love to do. So one of the things I want to think is really important is, like, we like to dabble, we like to learn as much as we can, and we like to try out all different types of businesses and different types of investments. That's just our curiosity in nature as human, right? That's what we like to do. But the best thing to do and to narrow down your focus is always write things down. Like, write down what your passion is. Write down what you want to do. Write down what your goals are, what you want to achieve. Write down your daily goal, like your weekly, your monthly, your one-year plan, your three-year plan, your five-year plan. And if you do that, you'll be able to try out everything that you want to try. You'll be able to do and accomplish everything that you want to do. But if you're scattered and you don't know your direction and you don't know what you want, just write down things that you're passionate about. Write down things that you really want to try and explore and do. And then those people will come into your life. That information will come into your life and you'll find a way to do it. That's just our natural human instincts, is when we focus on something, then that those things appear. They find a way to come into our life and find a way for us to learn and to grow and to, like, try those things out. And everything, pretty much everything that I've ever wanted to do, be, see, go, wherever I wanted, if I wrote it down, I've accomplished it. I've done it.
Manifestation at its finest.
What?
Manifestation at its finest. Yes. Manifesting everything that you want to do, all your goals, your priorities, what you want to get done. Set goals for yourself. Setting goals is important to anything in life. Say, next year I want to buy a car. I want to buy this car by this date. If you tell yourself, I want to buy this by this date, or I want to own a property by, let's say, January 4th of next year. If you keep telling yourself that you will, and you keep following through with that, it'll be in your subconscious, and you will get that. You will get it. It's never, oh, I might get it. It's, I will get it. It's all about mentality. Everything in life is a mentality game, and how you see it. If you see stuff as a failure, it's going to be a failure. If you see it as a learning experience, it's going to be a learning experience, and you'll take things from it. You take a step back, and you'll take all that valuable information and further apply it into your life.
Yeah, and then carry it over into the next business or into the next goal or to the next accomplishment. Like, you have to think of it this way. When your brain is thinking about, I'm going to go pick up that pencil, you're not consciously aware of like sending that signal down to your hand over to the pencil to pick it up. Or if you're thinking about like, I want to think of the color blue. Now you're aware everywhere you look, you're going to see the color blue. So it's the same thing when you write down your goals. You write down like what you want to accomplish, what you want to do, see, what you want to be. You write it down. It makes your brain start to become aware of those things. And now you're looking for those opportunities. You're looking for those mentors. You're looking for that education. You're finding a way to accomplish it. You're finding a way to learn from it because it's becoming aware in your brain now. So writing down your goals is like saying, look for the color blue. And now you're going to see the color blue. Like, just look around now. See what you see that's blue. Now you're acutely aware of blue. Now think about the color red. Look around. What do you see that's in your surroundings right now that's the color red? Or if you're driving and you're on the freeway, look for red cars. Now look at how many kinds of red cars you see. Same thing, like you could pick a car. You could say, okay, I'm looking for a Tesla. You're going to look now and you're going to see tons of Teslas everywhere that you go. I know I keep going back to Tesla. But it's the same thing when you write down your goals and your visions and your dreams on what you want, you're making your brain acutely aware of it. And it starts to look for those sources. It starts to become aware of those sources. Those people come into your lives. You start to have those conversations with mentors. You start to have those conversations with professionals that will help you get to those goals. Like, you'll become aware of more opportunities because of it. But writing down everything and making it a key and writing down what your goals and your visions and your dreams are will help you accomplish those. And then what you'll find out is you'll probably end up accomplishing a lot more than your set time. So you may say, like, I want that in a year. You may get it in 6 months now because you're acutely aware of it. It's not on the back burner. It's something that's in your forefront and you're trying to pursue that. Or you may like have your five-year goal. Your five-year goal may happen next year because you've written it all down. But we're here to help you learn how to accomplish all those things and how to find off of the learning curve and the mistakes, hypothetically, quote unquote, more like learning, how to do it the right way. That's the goal, right? It's like, learn from other people that have experienced it so that you can bypass those costly, quote unquote, mistakes or learning curve. And that's what we're here for, to like, help you learn about everything, to teach you different things, to teach you different strategies, teach you different investment tools, expose you to opportunities that you didn't know exist, like AI and technology, artificial intelligence, VR, gaming, crypto, stocks, bonds, futures, real estate, everything. DAO 3, working with ChatGPT, working with Grok, all the other different things that you have at your resources, you have at your tool, like you're able to use it right now. You could go online and utilize all of this wealth of information instantly. The good thing about ChatGPT is kind of like Google on steroids. Like, most people are scared of ChatGPT, but ChatGPT can like answer so many questions. It can give you so many insights. It can write out a full business plan. It can write out code. It can create art. It can do so many different things. So once we learn all the basics, like, you always want to learn the foundations, then you can enhance it with all these tools and resources, and we'll provide those also.
Yeah, like, if you're scared of something, that should be more of an incentive to go after it and to find out more information about it. Maybe you're missing something. Maybe you've listened to too much social media and you're stuck listening to the common wave of, oh, the AI is bad. AIs take everything you say and they'll spit it out again, and they'll soon run the world, which isn't out of the question, but it's definitely something, a tool that you have to take advantage of while you can, so that you can further develop and benefit yourself. You have to look for these tools that can provide you value. If you're not looking for ways to get value out of something rather than looking at the negatives, then you're looking at it the wrong way. Thinking positively and thinking with intent and strong intentions, and really just pushing yourself to your limits. If you're scared of something, jump at it. If you're holding back an idea and you're thinking, you know what, maybe it is not a good idea to go about this, take a step back and then jump back at it again. Because I guarantee you, all the possibilities and ventures that you're scared of going into, if you jump into them, you will succeed. Because you're already thinking about it. You're thinking about it subconsciously. It's not at the front of your brain, you're scared about it, but you're thinking of ways of how I could implement this and how can I use this to benefit me. And an example is, I was scared of ChatGPT to start. I'm like, it's gonna pull everything that I put in there. I'm in school, they say don't use ChatGPT, they're gonna track everything. But there's ways around all this stuff. It's technology, it's all still early, where it's the early development phase. It's not at the point where it's going to take over the world yet. So there's no need to be scared yet. Keyword yet, but take advantage.
Yeah, ChatGPT is actually just like Google on steroids. It's what we've done before, but it just has more resources and more information to pull from. So it's taking from all over, not just one limited source. And so it's compiling it faster and giving you the information. And the good thing is it has like a learning curve built into itself too. So it kind of remembers what you did ask, but in a good way. It remembers, like if we're creating art, like we're creating art in DAO 3, it'll create the art and then it'll keep running the same image in the art that you created. And then if you modify it, it'll remember the modification and then keep running that art. So ChatGPT is awesome though, because you ever have a question about anything, you can input it. If you need to do a proposal or you need to have a formal letter drafted, you can put that into. But we'll go through like detailed information on ChatGPT in another segment. I just want to give a recap because we're coming to our close right now too. And I know that we've been all over the board today. We kind of like discussed everything, and not necessarily everything, but you'll even hear more. We're going to have specific topics every week that we're going to talk about certain topics. But we're here to help people learn. We're here to excite people to open new opportunities, to try new things, to have that learning curve, and then find what your specialty and your niche is. Remember, everything here is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Always do your own research. This is not financial advice. I am a licensed broker. I do have a master's in finance, but what you do, you want to always make sure that you consult with professional legal help too. Either CPAs, legal, 1031 exchanges, financial advisors, and make sure that you're on path. Learn as much as you can whenever you're trying something out. Try whatever you can for free first. Don't invest anything. Don't try anything. Do it all on paper first and then see if that's something that you can pursue. And then from there, whenever you do start something, invest with very little money just to try it out. And then find out what your niche and specialty it is. Find out what you have a passion for, and then pursue those things. Don't pursue what everybody else wants you to, but pursue the things that you're good at, what your strengths are at. Find your own risk tolerance, find out what you're best at. And we're here to help you and help you teach and learn some things like that along the way.
Teaching and learning. Always pick anything. So if we talk, let's say 1 week we talk about real estate, and I love focusing on real estate because it's such a great topic to focus on, and right now the market's starting to pick up on it. Any information that you even think, you know what, maybe I want to delve into this specific point a bit more, the stage is open. Please jump up and call in, and we will answer any of your further inquiries about any topic that we discuss. We encourage that as well. We want to provide all possible routes of information that we can.
So we look forward to phone calls in the future. It's time to close up now, but it was wonderful having this intro with all of you. I know that we talks about a lot of different topics, but we look forward to narrowing those down and narrowing the focus down. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate all of you. We're going to be wrapping it up and closing for now. But remember, always do your own research. This is not financial advice. This is for educational and informational purposes only. But we're going to have a lot of fun and tell some fun stories along the way, too. And love to hear all of your fun stories, too. So appreciate everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll catch you all on the next episode.
Yeah, we look forward to it. We'll see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.